interrupting the current neo-Euclidean climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM497. Getting closer. This is the most jam-packed minute in radio for 2 continuous hours. Break free. And remember, to be free, that's not a spectator sport, folks. So get you behind the woodshed. This is where you learn. Well, you have to have the authority first. And then you bring the miscreant that's bothering you behind the woodshed, and you teach him the lesson he needs to learn. Hopefully with love and caring. But the other side, these criminals, are not making it easy. And partly why I broadcast a decade and a half or so, the methods that you're going to be looking for to protect yourself. What you're up against is a bunch of people who believe they have the power. And they do, because they have a lot of people that agree they have the power and they've got the force. That's the bottom line. And yet we're supposed to be a country of laws. And I say maybe we should go ahead and institute those laws in reverse order, but we have to understand those first. I went back through to understand what it is for us, for me, and a lot of what I learned and put in practice for us in the past, and for myself, it seems to at least neutralize this awesome corruption. It's not something we can really turn our back on, because it's also allowing to be ushered in something even far worse, for as much as it seems and bad as it seems. I guess we should move right into the first tab. A lot of stuff to get through, so let's see if I can go through it quick. I can only skim the surface of all this. I hope you find some interest in some of it, then get to the blogcaster, get the links, research down, read deeper. Start to figure out how to read what you see, what you understand, what you're reading, in order to how you go about addressing some of this at your level. Your level meaning where you are locally, and don't, again, as I thought was so clearly able to be done, what we went through the last couple of years and we're going through still was black and white, short list, a paragraph or two. Duties and obligations on officials that everybody should be able to point out, and they didn't. So we are here today, still under it, and still getting worse. And things are coming out. I guess we're going to have to be a society where everything has to become out even worse before we start realizing that the system that's come up inside the system we thought was our organic establishment is no longer our organic establishment. As I've been professing to you, I can find through the statutes, has been for quite a long time. Moving into something that seems to be I don't know why I'm so enthralled by this story, the Seth Rich story, but I'll just touch this because it's an ongoing saga like we see over and over. This federal baratry institution, the FBI, on this ship of state, is an unlawful breach of duty. The baratry is the unlawful breach of duty on the part of a ship's master or crew, resulting in injury to the ship's owner. So those of you thinking organically, you would be the posterity, the ship's owner. These folks inside an institution, the Federal Baratry Institution, are in breach of their duty. And particularly this first case, where the FBI asked the court for 66 years to release information from Seth Rich's computer. Very interesting twists and turns what the snakes are trying to do and slithering away. But they were brought before the court on a FOIA, F-O-I-A, the Federal Freedom of Information Act, not the state's open records law. And now they're doing lots of twisting and torning to try to keep the information from the public. Now, isn't this a tactic they've learned and we've seen just right here, not shortly before, with the Pfizer nonsense, asking for 75 years. It's not going over so well, as in this report. It's not going to go over so well. The judge essentially doesn't go with it. Federal Bureau Institution is asking, the Baratry Institution is asking the court for 66 more years to violate, essentially, by my view, the First Amendment, right of the people to be, well, ostensibly, master of the ship of state, and to be fully informed in the integrity of the political process. And so as we're coming onto this moment in time again, the mids, this seems to be important to me, but it all through Seth Rich's murder. But why is this such a secret? Why is the FBI doing this sort of thing? And then they if you read the story, they come on the back of the family that has a higher right than the public to understand, be informed in the integrity of its political process, which is essentially the First Amendment violation to institute. But they're not bashful about going ahead and trying to justify these arguments. Again, the attorneys will keep working to reduce and diminish the power of the people. And this is where I start saying, if you're interested in this stuff, start focusing on some of these. There's enough of us out there that should be. Hundreds of millions of Americans should be interested in how this all works. And we all take a part on the rope and start tugging on all these the edifices of power that have been set up but are not. I think on this request, again, and we see lots of evidence, the Federal Baratree Institution, the FBI, has outlived its usefulness. And I hope you can agree. We have to deal with this. The judge is saying no way to their, whatever their excuse was. The record here, if you look at this story, these stories, the record appears to show the ship of state's Federal Baratree Institution, the FBI, is prevaricate in most everything it does. And if you look carefully, it shows you how this agency will say it doesn't have the information, that it does, and it's preparing it. Now it doesn't want to develop it. Now it can't. It's all the same evasion. So I'm just bringing this forward because based on a simple murder, if you would think so, we're touching the very heart of what most people think the organic establishment was protecting in the people to have a say. And an institution of the government is coming up with every kind of evasion to delay that ability of the people to be informed. See, if you're one of those that believe that that system is still functioning. Moving on to other things, if the other side of this, the FBI, again, I think that they've freshness date is over. The FBI raid on disappearance of journalist James Gordon Meek should chill you to the bone. And this is an interesting story, and there's nothing I think we can touch that proves something, but this journalist, James Gordon Meek, an award-winning journalist who worked as a correspondent and producer of the ABC News, has somewhat disappeared and no formal charges. But the FBI was involved. So another journalist here reporting on informing the public of what the government does is attacked, at least by the record, threatened, it seems, to disappear himself, if that's as far as we get to go. But when you read the story and the account of this, the government and Federal Baratree Institution, derelict in its duty to inform the public, violating the First Amendment of the establishment of the organic establishment that the people expected to have done, is steering the ship of state to run it aground or into the proverbial, is it proverbial, iceberg? Was there icebergs in Proverbs? But this story, I could read. The point is here that the journalism, people who have inside knowledge of by their research, by their study, are attacked. And we know that. Here's another story about it. At some point, we as the people, some of us are going to have to amass to start to focus. Our point of focus should be on correcting these issues. At some point, I'm thinking, as I went quiet there, I'm thinking, where is the actual legitimacy of an FBI? Actually, in particular, we see the problem. It's expanded. Why? Since 9/11. Again, that same wound that was opened up on us, that people, as I explained in hindsight 2020, we had a test coming into 2020, and we apparently failed again. And this is what we get to see. So, journalists are attacked. We see the whistleblowers are being diminished by the government itself. Despite the Congress making laws, the executive is disregarding it all. And apparently, we have no control of that. I think part of that is nobody stepping up in the proper ways. And then, as we see, and I can show clearly in the Comey fraud, nobody properly brings the discussion. Again, I don't bring an argument. You bring the fact of the failed duty, the dereliction of duty here. We kind of say the organic establishment is the ship of state, as it is told to us that the state is. Then the ship's master would be the people, and the people that are derelict in the duty are committing baratry. For those of you in admiralty, you want to start applying the law instead of just complaining and talking about it? Again, behind which I try to show you there's ways at this stuff. And until someone lays it out and then sees what the response is, we won't know how deep the corruption is in all this. Back to a story that I was reporting on, that a judge in New York essentially said what I've been saying, but in other words, that the government, the city of New York, acted arbitrary and capricious. In other words, reading between the lines, it did not fail to follow the communicable disease law. It did not have a basis, a foundation from which to act, so everything coming from that would have been arbitrary and capricious. But we now see that the state here has the dynamic in the courts, and part of this is a legitimate, part of this seems to be a big delay in my mind, because of the way, the clarity of the wrong. That when you have a duty that's black and white in the law, there's no argument about it, has failed, New York ought not to be able to appeal, or at least so easily as they seem to be doing in the procedures of the court. Here we are, New York workers, upon that decision, the New York City acted in arbitrary capriciously, and they must rehire. New York workers fired over vaccine mandate blast city's refusal to follow court order, destroying lives. Now, I could read the story. The point is that there's this dynamic that you have to prepare for, and apparently they would have the right of appeal. What I'm suggesting is, when the dereliction was so clear and obvious, they ought not to be able to prevail to stop this. And so this is a thing I put in. It's a fact thing you put on when you're looking at the terrain that you're going to be battling in. You have to look forward enough to see this could happen. This is evidence right now. Notice to us that this will happen. And how you would come in to try and circumvent that when you do your original filing in the demand, that they be enjoined from appealing where the court were to find it's a violation of the clearly established duty and obligation of the state itself. Is it going to win? I don't know, but if you throw it in there, you got it. If you don't throw it in there, they go like this. They go and they may cause the continuation of the harm. I'm saying this with some, if you will, confidence in that I've read lots of states' communicable disease law. They all say the same. Even the district of the Washington over there on the East Coast, Washington, D.C., the district has the same law. If you, in the procedures, maybe different steps, but they're all required to follow the same. When none have, and New York didn't, then this should not be a question. And this is why I tell you about watching out. These courts are essentially, when the court did the other statement about arbitrary and capricious, instead of identifying where they failed, I think that was a failure. That court didn't do the public a service. The court acts like the FBI trying to obstruct the public being informed what the actual law is. That would clarify what people, whether they're in the government or not, should do. So, we have a backup on last week's discussion. I said, I don't know if this is going to go. It lasts for now. The New York's not liking it. Officials that won't do black letter law, you have to know there's a problem. How these people get into offices, I don't know, but they do. And this is, well, we kind of see how they do and how it's coming out about the integrity of your election system is not so good. And then back to why the FBI wants to hide Seth Rich's information. What's going on inside the political processes of the parties. And remember, I'm, if you will, the atheist to both parties, who in Jefferson Mining District, we sued both the political parties. They're both aiding and abetting the overthrow of this country. I don't have a more thought than that. And they agreed because they defaulted out. Moving on now, New York wants to continue the harms. The government does not care that it's going to continue the harms. As I told you, the epidemiological basis for what they do is cooking the books. It's like accounting. It's risk management. It's not, if you will, if I can convert it to a conflagration, it's not suppressing and stopping the fire. It's managing. Risk fire management is what's going on here with this, why it's so easy for me to see if no one else can see it. But here we have, folks. Listen very carefully. This is not even news. I've told you about this before. It was in the paperwork. I don't understand why people have a problem with it. Everyone's just now finding this in the data. This was always sitting there, but here we now have the better proof of it. Danger signal. It's beyond that, but here we have danger signal. Leaked hospital email reports increase in stillbirths. COVID-19 vaccine suspected. And so, You can go through, you look at, again, I want to read, but I don't want to read. These are notices. I'm here to tell you we have a serious problem. I don't need to dwell too long on the facts of a lot of this because it's self-evident to me. We are now getting the proof written down. You can collect, for those of you that are interested in some of this and protecting yourself, because I don't think these, again, they told us it's endless diseases. They brought in the ape one next. They're already building up for the new one coming in as we go through fall now. There is others on the horizon. I'm now noticing they're bringing up which I can't remember now, it's an African fever being transmitted up into Germany. They're giving themselves plenty of vectors to instill fear in the public. I've offered you to where you show locally how you protect yourself. If we would have done that, any one of these people would have done that, they would not have taken what could not have been a treatment underneath the local law to put them in this condition. But those of you that have, and I told you I'm very sad about this, I don't feel it makes us on a pedestal, those that didn't. This is going to be the consequence of a failed due process and law of a clearly established law. And this, we can see this as an object lesson if we're going to stop it, that there is harms when you don't follow, when officials do not follow a known or directed basis. These kinds of things happen. An email recently shared by the Epoch Times that was sent out to healthcare staff of hospital system in Fresno, California, reported an increase in demise patients or stillbirths that is expected to continue, according to the email. If you read, you can read through the story, you can see what the email says. Given any validity, I would err on the side of caution, correct? I mean, we already know something. They've admitted they don't prevent. Within that context, these things that they're issuing out are not actually lawfully within the medical bag that a health official can ask a medical doctor to prescribe as a treatment. And here, so there it is. I don't know what else to say. Sad thing. And there'll be lots of arguments against it. There may be a psychological reason for why that is as I get down through the tabs. Lots to go. But it's interesting how we can, because I always wonder why aren't people responding? And then why only like half respond? And then why do portion agree and then back out? And I have a little bit of few tabs here that might explain some of that. At least gives us a place to kind of wonder. And almost in a way, it gives me a way to be a little bit more empathetic. I can't give the excuse out, but I can be reasoning why people they're controlled. They're mind controlled, and it's known how to do that. I told you they know us better than we know ourselves. That's the protocols of the elders of Zion. So just read through that. It's an instruction manual on how someone's out there that can take you out. You don't have perfect knowledge. Your foibles will be used against you. And so that, having that awareness though, goes a long way to understand why you have to protect yourself. What I come to tell you about, so that you have the tools to protect yourself, at least give you the time and the distance between someone attacking you or trying to sell you into something. Then you give your ability to start critically thinking with a foundation so that you're not moved by your emotion to make better decisions. And a lot of times I've found when you can give yourself that much time, in other words, the other side hasn't thought that many steps along. And if you think three or four steps, even three or four steps ahead, and use the basis, like I've been telling you, the black and white if it's an official, you are given that a little extra advantage just in the time you've thought about it, you can respond, and then you're two steps beyond them when you start to learn to move, is really what I'm trying to show people here as we move through all this notice to us. So the government doesn't care to kill the young. In a way, that's part of the abortion thing, and then you see the late-term abortion where partially birth type abortions. This is a bunch of, I don't know what to say, the demonic. It's don't matter to kill people. That view then gets you into euthanasia, and you're going to see this right now. It gets you into killing the elder. It gets you into killing, the government can kill anyone. And now you see that in the Vietnam War fatalities that the 18 to 39 group of men suffer in 1 year over this COVID fraud. But it's going to extend outside. They're giving themselves, the government gives themselves a license. These demons inside the government are like, I don't know what kind of evil this is, but it's evil. It's certainly not lawful. And it's certainly not peaceful. But here they don't care about the stillbirth. They didn't care to protect you. You had to protect yourself. There was ways to do that. Now Canada comes in, and this is part of that agenda as well. Remember population control. We heard about Bill Gates. Everyone sent the video around of him saying the only variable in this equation about carbon dioxide and climate change as people. And so here we have, Canada will now kill minors without parental permission. A new Canadian law would allow minors to euthanize without parents agreeing. Crichton School of Medicine professor Charles Camosi joined in a discussion with Tucker Carlson to discuss a new Canadian law. I'll end there. You go through, I think there was a question to my mind whether this has actually been enacted. I really don't care. This is the end agenda. The government wants to be able to give even a minor without the capacity to decide. The legal system has said that there's no capacity in someone under 18 anyway. I think it should be raised to 25 and maybe even be higher than that with the way they're diminishing us. But notwithstanding all that, the legal capacity to make a contract decision, especially this important, is being encroached and eroded, if not destroyed, and we see that in the new gender nonsense, where we give young ones the ability to make decisions. And we don't know how they've been abused to get there, but anyway, here, Canada will now allow euthanasia, and the little one doesn't have to come to get the mother and father permission, although they identify the mother and father in the law as a custodial ward of the child, which is owned actually by the custodial interest is owned by the state. Mothers and fathers have never stepped up to say, no, you don't have my offspring as you're in your system. You have no jurisdiction here. That's the start of the discussion. There's a whole lot more behind it. Don't lead with that and that's all. But Canada, if you're going to keep your little ones in the public domain, if you will, is going to allow that little one to have a say. There is no constraint now. When you have no constraint, then there's really no law working. There's no constraint on what can be consent. It's just whether or not the creature decides it's okay to not live. So Canada will now kill minors. I'm not surprised. Abortion allowed late term was without any other problems, it seemed to be a pretty big deal. Now they're talking about even some time after. I mean, when does this thing stop? And you find out real quickly, there should have been a stop. Because if you don't, then everybody is susceptible to the government will. And if you start to do it that way, you have to really quickly get to the point that you're not even your own property. You have no life that's not subject to the government. And so for us in the United States, that wasn't supposed to be at all. Kanukistan, I see some things, being under the Queen, that stuff. I see some rights, but I also see that there was a condition. You're going to have to parse through that a little bit more than I can. So Kanukistan will now allow for euthanasia, and the little one doesn't have to get permission, and they will not accept it. In fact, they probably, and I didn't read through it more, they likely make it a bit of a crime for the imposition by so-called parent, the custodial ward of the state, which is the child. Remember, the rights of child predates all this that predicted it was coming in. So this is not hard to figure out. And if you didn't know that and you're interested in protecting your little ones, maybe you should go look at that. And you need to be able to figure out how that's a foreign imposition that's not conducive to, if you will, your organic life, I hate to say common law because that's a real trick word, but your basic rights of man, not human, not the animal. As we work into that animal that's pretended as well, UK scientists created mutant, again, they don't care about killing y'all. It's all eventually about commerce and control. UK scientists created mutant COVID strains in high-risk, low-benefit lab experiments. Sage-linked team comes under fire amid calls for more regulation over controversial gain-of-function research. It moved from Boston. It's over in UK. It's global, folks. These bio labs are everywhere. Again, people may not connect it up, but the 1992 Biodiversity Convention allowed for the transmission, the free exchange of genome data, and that's what you're seeing. It's all genome data. It's not organisms. So the fact of this low benefit is where we get back into, it's not a level of benefit, it's whether or not it has a benefit. That gets us into the bioweapon law, for the United States anyway, under Title 50, and the exception, and what I was telling you about what Rand Paul handed to Fauci, broadsheet, relative to Fauci's assertion that there was a dual use, and that was left unchallenged. That was Rand Paul giving Fauci the ability to stand underneath the immunity exception that's in Title 50 and then not become subject to Title 18, the criminal statute. So you can see how this is all working. If you understand it, you can see how the evasion's going on right before everybody's eyes. you can see behind the scenes here that there's scientists all over the place doing this. But if you look carefully, they're talking mutant viruses, but if they're made in the lab by code, they're just code protein strings they've learned to put together are not biological. And this is another critical thing to identify. The novel designation shows they're synthetic. They're made in a lab. They cannot be natural, as we saw, as I explained through referencing the myriad LLC case, where the court came in, the Supreme Court said, well, you cannot patent natural organisms. You can patent what a lab technician makes in a lab. And they called that, I think it was seed RNA, and that's what your RNA is when you get it from the companies in the farm. It's lab-made. Hamsters were infected with a mutant virus, blends of the original Wuhan strain and parts of Omicron, the moronic variant, and Delta. Critics of the lab experiments carried out by the Imperial College Lab earlier this year called it insanity. But see, the Imperial College is still part and parcel to the origins of this fraud, this global fraud upon everybody. So these are the same actors. Let me go back, though. They said mutant virus blends. Blends. They're not even using the words about using genome CRISPR. These were blends of protein strings that were just put together. They say the Wuhan strain. There is no strain. This is all set up to kind of continue that there's a virus organism that they're using. Nothing can be further from the truth at this point. But they want to continue the fear. And they're going to continue to have that go until people step up and say, okay, stop your nonsense, stop your fraud, and attack the fraud. An actual representative comes in my Twitter feed now all of a sudden. Maybe I should thank Elon Musk. I don't know. And everybody seems to be two steps past where they should be arguing and discussing how bad the vaccines are when there are no vaccines. Lawfully, as a matter of law, there's no vaccine. As a matter of law, understand what I'm saying. Go to the local communicable disease law. There's no vaccine because it doesn't prevent and control that can be used by the official. So if you start arguing all that, you're two steps behind over looking at who, not the Rock Group or the OWL or even the World Health Organization, but the local health official had no right to even consider that condition. And now we can turn more closely at home who the culprits were. And when you understand how to do that, now you're going to put the borders back up and so they can't inject you until it can be shown by that official that these things prevent, that these things are safe. At least safe, again, you saw that safe has got a big question mark around that, big quotes too. But the hamster infected by a mutant virus is a false statement. There's no viruses here if it's the blend from Wuhan to putting protein sequences, computer-generated protein sequences together, and then created in a lab and then injected in a hamster. I would just think that synthetic material would be enough to hurt an organism, wouldn't you think? Well, but going on here, there's a couple points. 20 scientists were involved in the project, including one who sits the government advisory panel, SAGE. So your government's compromised, but the university is just study part funded by the taxpayer. You guys are all in on the hook, too. You're all agreeing, followed the UK regulations, and was entirely safe. Well, if it's not an organic thing and it's all in the lab, how is it? It's not supposed to be in the public. How is safe even a record? It's just a study that you're doing on hamsters, on synthetic materials. Our revelation comes amid the ongoing furor over similar COVID experiments in the U.S. and Boston University. It's all over, folks. Look at Ukraine. Watch Ukraine coming up. Russia's been hitting on that because they just got the evidence of it. But we've been talking behind the woodshed for years about all this stuff. So, mutant virus. They build it up in the fear. There's no virus. It's not a mutant from a genomic standpoint as far as organic or organism. But anyway, they're going to pump it up. The risky experiments, they're not risky into context that they're not organic and they're not an actual pathogen. They're only novelly created. It doesn't mean it's any better. And these are used as bioweapons, whatever they happen, they do. And in the United States, a chemical that can be used, and this is all chemistry, it's not biology, that can be used to harm someone would be considered a bioweapon. And so unless you can find a dual use that benefits the public, you are creating a prohibited substance. And I, as I said, that I'm still, my mind wanted to race through history here. Have you heard anybody bringing this up? A couple guys have touched it. In fact, the author of the bioweapons criminal statute saying it, but I showed you how he's one step removed from it as well. The point is, if, when you can't use them, it's not in the local tool bag, a medicine bag, for a local official to tell a doctor to help to treat in prevention and control. It is proven to not have that dual use. And that, therefore, that substance that's being proffered is a prohibited chemical weapon. I don't know why that's so hard to get out as I think about all this. But moving on, synthetic COVID and chimeric strains, why U.S. should open all of its bio labs for inspections. Well, there's two things. COVID is a symptoms, remember, and a common cold, and chimeric strains. That would be through CRISPR and biological organisms. U.S. should open all of its bio labs for inspection. Well, I would say, you think, aren't we, as the people, shouldn't we understand what that is? Shouldn't we understand how that's working? Shouldn't we be an informed populace? And so this is coming from Sputnik, if you want to, oh, the Russian affiliated. Okay, fine. Look for the information as you see it. There's a truth that are working inside us. Don't move your responsibility over to someone else's suggestion that this information is not important to us. Recently, Russian chairman of the State Duma, Vyacheslav Volodin, called for an independent investigation into the origins of COVID-19 under the auspices of the UN and the Telegram Post, adding that the U.S. runs a whopping 336 overseas biolaboratories allegedly capable of creating such a virus. So either the Russians are a duped or they know about this, and so this is also part of a propaganda. And because COVID-19 is symptoms, it's not an infectious agent. You didn't see it talk. No one talks about SARS-CoV-2 in any great length. And if you do, you have to go back to the 2003 patent that the CDC holds on there. It's synthetic. It's, again, novel. It's not natural. But the fact is that these bioweapons labs are all over the place. The United States runs apparently 336 of them. And we could go through the discussion, what's going on. I want to parse through all the political dynamics. We have a serious problem. They're using this stuff against us, whomever the country is. You see little truths here and there. Let me just read one paragraph that struck out. Again, using Telegram, of all things, another social network, to send the news out. And then we have to qualify that. But here he says, Russian chairman of the State Duma, that Russia had created a poll on his Telegram account last week, asking whether his followers were inclined to believe that SARS-CoV-2 was man-made virus. Interesting. It has to be. It's novel. It's patented. The Supreme Court of the United States said that cDcRNA is patentable. It's a technician-made thing, but it's not a virus. It may give you symptoms like a virus if there's viruses that are true, but it doesn't actually. It is not an infectious agent. So interesting polls that people respond to, and the poll is very dangerous because you can't really get into it to tear it apart to then look at whether or not there's anything left to the question. But here we have U.S. biolabs are all over the place. It's just not in the U.K. either. It's just not in Boston, which is one of the two, I think, United States labs for doing these checks. But you don't hear anybody talking, explaining to anybody that novel means it has to be man-made. And it's not a virus. It's not chimeric in that sense. How they did, that's one thing I haven't had a chance or time to go look at now that I'm intrigued by. How did they take and make protein strings that actually, well, in the RNA I can see it, but that the body receives is really an interesting technology. But it's not life. It's not live. And I bring up CRISPR-9 not to sanction it. Not, excuse me, sanctions got both definitions. It can or cannot. It can stop and it can start. It will allow license. The CRISPR has its own problems. I'm not agreeing that when you see it, now we've solved the problem. It has, remember, it has its unintended consequences. And as we move through, when you didn't have officials that followed the law and it creates problems, we have over and over and over. How to figure that out, looking at how they told us, how they feared us, how people were afeared. Some of you didn't get afeared. Some of you were, well, looking, I know, but I'm just saying generally, because the general population, the populace is going to be our general problem, and we won't be a cohesive response. And that's going to be the problem, because the cohesive response is required underneath our, at least the United States form of government, to stop the maladministration of government when it gets to this point. Why I said this is the toughest thing we could be facing. But COVID death total, now this is my bombshell report on the fraud from John Rappaport, and he goes through a very simple truth and test, but we have a little bit of a thing going on here. What's interesting, we've been talking about the flu numbers being transferred. John goes more properly today, or when he wrote this article, to pneumonia, which may actually be the real killer once we get past the fact that COVID-19 had flu symptoms and they pulled from the flu numbers. What the flu numbers actually represent is that there's no flu either, in large part. A small percentage of people actually have flu. The rest are dying by pneumonia. Again, another respiratory challenge that kills people. That's what we can see kills people. He goes and shows today how you take the pneumonia numbers and you calculate out how this works out. And then you go through and you address and you go to the regular websites like World Health Organization. And you work through the numbers that they have and you add, because of the time differential, you add, you multiply the numbers between a number set that's over 1 year versus the number set that pneumonia was over 2.6 years. And you get the same number if you use, or relatively close, again, this is estimates. If you, when you go through this, this calculation, you find out that the pneumonia deaths equates to the number they're attributing to COVID by non-COVID pneumonia. And so we have a more refinement now. It looked like they were taking from the flu numbers, which were the symptoms. And then you look and find out that, and I think John Rappaport actually talked about this years ago when I was doing the pig fly flu, just triggered in my mind. The pig fly flu, he was doing the analysis then to show that the flu that they were saying, just flu, generally seasonal flu, which you can't do a vaccine for, and the common cold, which you can't do a vaccine for, which I know Pfizer's trying to promote a vaccine for, which is facially fraudulent. But John Rappaport was saying, I think it was back when the pig fly flu, the flu, the seasonal flu, wasn't even the flu. It was pneumonia. So he comes out this year now, or this time, and takes the same numbers from the officials to say, what we're looking at possibly is pneumonia. Why am I bringing this up? And why is John bringing it up? I suppose I haven't talked to him. He hasn't really responded to me much. Don't know why. But is because we're coming into that time to be able to look for the number. How do you look at this cooking the books? How do you look at the, what they call science and show that it's not science whatsoever and that they are pulling and cooking the books by pulling from different times and different lists to create those numbers? We have to be aware of that. Otherwise, it's going to get more difficult. As they start to learn how we respond, again, that's the SMART condition, they learn how to bring it more covertly and have better answers. However, together with the New York issue, New York coming and saying, hey, your action was arbitrary and capricious, your local executive government in the city breaking, Italy's new right-wing government will be reinstating all unvaccinated healthcare workers. So whatever New York mayor is trying to do to evade the law and evade his obligations and to challenge under the color of an appeal, Italy's saying, no, we're going to go ahead and go with it. They are also canceling the fines who were imposed on people age 50 plus who didn't get vaccinated. And the statement here from Peter Sweden and his Twitter was a huge, 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 huge win for freedom. And so we have, and again, my problem with just this blanket statement with the right-wing government, it has nothing to do with the right wing. If this was law, there was absolutely no way that this could have happened. That it is coming through a right wing is a political answer, which the courts were supposed to answer before, if you will, the left wing caused all the problems. I'm not sure whether or not the right wing, new government there, and that Maloney, I don't know if she's given the real answer, but someone's come in and said, no, we can't do this as an executive. And it's, I would have to say, I agree that they shouldn't have done it. Whether or not they're going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that's going to be for the people to really bore down on. Again, I see lots of people two steps behind where they're supposed to be, and I only again through Twitter or through the news on what or comments to articles, how people respond. You keep talking about the treatment side when you should be turning and saying, but there was no authority to offer any treatment to be arguing about. Good, bad, or indifferent. Now, once we get to that side, that there was no authority whatsoever, and then you put your mind back to when that started, the entire thing is a big problem. The entirety is evidence of a destruction of your clearly established organic form of government. And I'm going to suggest to you that that was a planned setup, that they did it, they figured the people out, and the people capitulated. John Rappaport points out his simple numbers. It's really short. You should get that link. Read it. He goes right through a nice quick proof showing the pneumonia numbers correlated in time equate to what the numbers the CDC is saying is the deaths of COVID actually based in the numbers of a non-COVID-based illness that's known, natural, if you will. But we see another capitulation, the WHO, not the rock group, the OWL, or the little people of Whoville, but the World Health Organization issues warning on tuberculosis. The UN Health Watchdog says the number of infections is rising globally. This is an interesting statement. Now, where was this before? But you're looking at a statement. If I understand how tuberculosis propagates, it usually propagates in poverty and lack of proper nutrition. And so we take this one a little bit different. It may be underneath all this non-COVID stuff like pneumonia. Pneumonia would be coming, probably could be coming through tuberculosis. And tuberculosis is a communicable disease, reportable in your local communicable disease law. So it would follow the same proceedings. And if you look, tuberculosis proceedings, you should read about that because it's a little more expanded on what's supposed to happen, which you can relate to anything else. But what I think we're seeing here is the World Health Organization, the brokers of harm that they are, the criminals that they are, they're conceding that poverty is on the rise. And you'd expect that. The destruction. This is like here's a report on how good we're doing. You got to look at it this way because I'm going to get some other tabs. You got to start reading for this side. Who issues warning on tuberculosis? It's not a warning. It's a report on how good they destroyed people's food. So-called food security is working pretty good here. Tuberculosis is on the rise. And I want us to know that because I think it's going to be possibly spreading. We want to pay attention a little bit to this. Key, again, this is a note to keep your health up. As we're coming into some times I'm not sure about, folks. They've got lots of ways, a lot of vulnerability points here. A lot of surface attack points against us and for a longer time than I think I've ever witnessed in all my life. And we need to kind of pay attention to what happens to us when we get in diminished capacities to protect ourselves so we can go through a problem if it comes and is prolonged. But moving through here, censorship and suppression of COVID-19, heterodoxy, tactics and counter-tactics by Dr. Robert Malone, one of the guys in the government that came up to say, hey, there's something wrong here. And I did appreciate that. I think it was the Weinstein interview. He's the first time I saw him there. All these people are two steps behind where they need to be. But we do get information. And what I appreciated this is that tactic and counter-tactic. The emergence of COVID-19 has led to numerous controversies over COVID-related knowledge and policy. To counter the perceived threat from doctors and scientists who challenge the official position of government and intergovernmental health authorities, some supporters of this orthodoxy have moved to censor those who promote dissenting views. So he's kind of outlining this thing, and he goes through a report on this, and I'm not going to continually say about the COVID emergence of symptoms being an infectious agent is really the story there, and maybe point out to you within the communicable disease law, there is no intergovernmental health authority. It's all relating to the duty and obligation on the local health official to do certain things on the reports, medical reports it gets from physicians. Nothing else and nothing more on a case-by-case basis. This statement says, and in bold, our findings point to the central role played by media organizations and especially by information technology companies in attempting to stifle debate over COVID-19 policy and measures. You hear that that's two steps removed. COVID-19 policy and measures is not looking at the dereliction of duty of the official. If you looked at the dereliction of duty and you couldn't move past the point, you never get to the fact of a symptoms being something and policies made over symptoms or measures for symptoms. You never get there. So this is my disconnect where Malone is outing that there's tactics and counter tactics and analyzing what's coming down and what we might do, where the source of this thing is. It's clear, easily given. Again, we could look at the media, but I don't want to translate our responsibility to that and say, oh, that's why we're failing. We can learn to how they're doing it, and we can understand that's a cover for a whole lot of other things, which I'm going to get to, that the government is doing against you in different subject matter areas. Moving back to the statement here in bold, in the effort to silence alternative voices, widespread use was made not only of censorship, but of tactics of suppression that damaged the reputations and careers of dissenting doctors and scientists, regardless of their academic and medical status, and regardless of their stature prior to expressing a contrary position. And so that is how they attack you, and I've explained how those doctors didn't have to get in that fight. How we now hear in, was it France? Dr. Perron was exonerated for and with an obligation and duty to offer that other side. And so we see that the advantage given to government and its media propaganda sources is deemed to be correct, and it's one of the presumptions we're going to have to destroy as people. What the courts have given to the government, that the government is presumed to be proper and good, has to be destroyed in people and countering that judiciary that was put in place to make that so and defeat the people. The presumption of good is no longer on the government, in my view, and we can prove it without too much sweat here. This is another purpose for why I wanted you all to get back into the code and see. You can produce the fact that the government can't be trusted. That was the thing it was supposed to keep, your trust. And once it can't be trusted, the whole entire thing flips. You can't just say that they didn't keep your trust. You show how they didn't keep your trust. And you do that by the objective basis. Shouldn't be a hard thing for us to do. Okay, so that's a tactic. That's a counter-tactic. How about before the fact? You just don't even get into this point. What if you went in and said, wait a minute, there's no... You don't have the authority to have to look at COVID. You don't have authority to make a policy. There isn't a measure against the symptom. What have you learned to say that? Not because your opinion, you go to the, here it says infectious agent. That's not COVID. We don't get there yet, Mr. or Mrs. Health Official. And let's move into that counter tactic, the media, how they're, some of us who've read, I'm not saying that we don't know this. We're certainly hearing a lot more about it, about the censorship that the control, the Ministry of Truth. Interesting set of, I've been sitting on some tabs that I couldn't get to. I'm going to get to now to show kind of what he's talking about there. What's behind the scenes? And what are the really blockbuster statements that came out of leak? The documents outlined DHS's plans to police disinformation. Came from The Intercept. Made a big deal. And this is a big, big deal. I don't know how more, what I want to say when you start to get the facts of the integration of the government into the information, that First Amendment thing that I was saying is being interfered with the press and an informed populace that interferes with their politics. If you do that under under violence, that's terrorism, all even the statutory definition. And so let me go to the one spot. There's so much to talk about and how important this leak of these documents is. But I wanted to point out something on one phrase that just stood out, came up, almost slapped me down a little bit, that I could not believe I was actually reading. They were admitting it, but it is what they're doing to us. It is what you see in the media. It is what you see in the social media. It is what they're doing behind the scenes now. Maybe more proof of this thing. As I read here, middle down somewhat, Jen Easterly, Biden's appointed director of CISA, swiftly made it clear that she would continue to shift resources in the agency to combat the spread of dangerous forms of information on social media. Quote, one could argue we're in the business of critical infrastructure, and the most critical infrastructure is our cognitive infrastructure. So building that resilience to misinformation and disinformation, I think, is incredibly important. And she made that statement back in November 2021. The term cognitive infrastructure, I haven't seen it hit too many people but one on the news feed or the Twitter feed. Cognitive infrastructure, they're taking you as a property that they have infrastructure into control. In fact, they don't. But you see here, they could argue that they do. But this cognitive infrastructure that they are focusing on, that one could argue that they have to control against whose misinformation and disinformation, for what purpose, is a, I can't, my mind, I'm stuttering. This is such a big thing here that I just don't know what more to say than to say, let's kind of run on over to maybe the First Amendment. Congress is not supposed to interfere with the press or any of that stuff, or freedom of speech. To be able to possess your mind, your cognitive function, as an infrastructure of government, is probably the most dangerous statement I've ever heard. That they believe they could argue that, yet the appropriations of Congress could never touch that, is also an evidence of lawlessness. But cognitive infrastructure, your mental cognitive infrastructure, not theirs, the government has no mind. It's a stunning statement, stunning. Like, there's tons of stuff in this report from the Intercept. But that one struck me, and this is why, is because I had a bunch of tabs to bring. And so here we go a bit, and one that was brought up to my attention just this week. Interesting how this all comes together. A little document called Rewired, How Digital Technologies Shape Cognition and Democracy. The Digital Cognition and Democracy Initiative is made by the Institute for Security and Technology. And you go and scroll down a little bit and you find out none other. And I didn't go through a ton of these. And again, too much information to go through all at once. But I did notice that the Johns Hopkins University is involved as an expert outside, an advisor in the advisory committee. Remember, advisory committees in the federal government are subject to the lead of an agency in the government. They're collaborators to come to an outcome. I've talked about all of this. It's all in the law. Go look up at advisory committees. I think it's in the law. And there's quite a bit of collaboration things going on. But this is where you start to get the control. And if you, again, when I saw Johns Hopkins, I said, well, this is why. My thought was when I read this, they did a good job at keeping the discussion neutral. But then I saw Johns Hopkins. And then I also noticed the words you see periodically pop up, which are not. You see collaboration right in the acknowledgments. You'll see resilience. You'll see outcomes. This is the discussion. This is one of a couple things. This is the investigation of dealing with the digital cognitive environment. But when you start to look at the words and how they're constructed, this is the plan on how they're going to infiltrate that cognitive infrastructure, which is you. Your mind. And these people this is a newer document that is explaining that they've been around to be analyzing this. You'd almost expect so, in a way, but when you figure out that they're after you, and they're going to be the rule, what information is good and what bad information is, and that's the government. And you understand that the organic establishment was not to allow appropriations to be doing this, and they are. Then you have to understand that we go move back to 9/11 when the DHS was created, that I suggested to you that there's probably been an overthrow of your country if Lincoln didn't do it. And I explained all that too. This is a refining of the more perfect union, moving toward the future that they want. And we saw evidence of that back in around the 1900s or so, and moving into the 30s with the technocracy kind of idea, where if we have enough technology, we can control everybody. Well, they got to control your mind. The fascinating document, the leaked information, they admit to having some sort of control. They have the business as well, commerce of critical infrastructure, which is considered cognitive infrastructure. And we see in this document how they have groups of people working to isolate you, how you go through, how they are going to work out, how to get at you. And what the resistance is, and what might be, and how to get around that in this document. It's only about 55 pages to read through. The point is that this is not what Dr. Malone pops up with here. It's not just the media. This is the government now. We see evidence that they are in there. It's not just the modernization of the Smith-Mundt app. This is the implementation of the ability to work through this stuff, even though it appears that the appropriations to do so would be completely unconstitutional. Nobody's talking about that. Pentagon opens sweeping review of clandestine psychological operations. Complaints about the U.S. military's influence operations using Facebook and Twitter have raised concern in the White House and federal agencies. What for me is interesting is I had this and a couple of other tabs we're going to quickly go through, ready to talk about, but can never get to it. Just so much to talk about. And this is the dated of September 19th. The document I just told you about, the Rewired document, that just came out here just recently, I believe, if I got that correct. This story was up before. And what happens, you see, the Pentagon was involved and got caught. And so they're going to do the so-called, they got to tell the, settle down the natives again. Well, we're going to investigate this psychological operation that they were putting on, which I have no doubt was along the lines of what we hear and see the parameters created for the Rewired document, the Rewired document regarding digital cognition and democracy. Remember, direct democracy is this sustainable thing. This is the direct media control through that digital form. They call it digital cognition. How they control that, to control how you think, how you go about thinking. And this touches very closely on, they know you better than yourself. And if they don't actually do it, they have studies. They put lots of time and money in figuring that out. And most of us are oblivious to this. The Pentagon opens sweeping review of clandestine psychological operations on Facebook and Twitter. Admitted now. The Pentagon has ordered sweeping audit and how it conducts. How it conducts. Not that they're not going to. It's not going to stop it, but how it conducts clandestine information warfare after major social media companies identified and took offline fake accounts suspected of being run by the U.S. military in violation of platform rules. If you don't think this DHS thing and the situation that happened at 9/11 wasn't a sea change in the ship of state, I ask you to look again very carefully and hopefully follow what I've been saying all these years, and so we can turn around real quick and look forward. Where this thing is going, the military has always been in our lives for as free as we thought we were, as I've explained, the more perfect union that Lincoln fabricated and created around us, and that essentially, if you look under, we did lose as a people. Why I'm not so sure to go to arms at this point, especially when I look around what happened with COVID. COVID was an acid test. We got burned. We got eaten away by the acid test. We didn't survive. A few of us are kind of didn't go in, so we didn't worry about it. But we watched our society crumble, if you will, and divide again and divide again. And if you put your mind into Rewired, that document, and you look about what they do and what they look at, you'll watch how certain subject matters they talk about fragmented, let's say Twitter, fragmented people in certain ways. Why I may be a droll on my tweets trying to continually state what was supposed to happen in the black and white. Because one, if you'll read carefully, one of the things that they can't battle is an objective basis that they can't battle. And so this is where I focused on this a long time ago, where I have you go back to the black and white. That's the only thing we really have left when you have a bunch of people on the other side of that screen you're dealing with that are manipulating the entirety. Why, as I say that, mandala effect comes to my mind. They just manipulate that. It's nothing set on that. It's a big illusion. What's not an illusion is that they're working to commit warfare against you through social media. And it's the military doing it, just as I've been saying. I guess that's the other thing I forgot to mention. Did you notice? It's the military. It's not just some third-party people trying to make a profit. No, this is the military getting involved. They have other reasons why they're going to do it. It's all bogus, but notwithstanding. Moving on through that section, Pentagon orders review of PSYOPs and taking down of fake social media accounts is another story. And we have Welcome to Cybersecurity 201. As we are hearing all these things, there's no need to choose one over the other between House of Dragon, the Rings of Power, right? They're not competing for a time slot or anything. But if you might make me pick, I'll go with the House of the Dragon. Below, a hacker appeared to leak highly anticipated videos of an upcoming video game, and the industry group proposed legislation to designate countries for the most critical infrastructure. What was the most critical infrastructure? It was your cognitive infrastructure. So this story is like a misdirection as well. They're after your mind. Who has said that? I think someone said that. There's a war for your mind. Is it also in the 1984 book? This is about your perception. This is about your consent. This is about gaining your trust. You're going to watch that too. Watch for the word trust. They're all about that. The problem is that they are going to define what is information, the good information, and then therefore if you speak counter, what's not. And then we tie it into the technocratic control, and your accounts and all your life is tied into the electronics, and behind all that is this military doing information dominance. It's full spectrum dominance, because I have a link back to remind us of that point. Full spectrum dominance, also known as full spectrum superiority, is a military entity's achievement of control over all dimensions of the battle space. They agreed to us that they're going to inspect that to figure out how they got found out so that they can be more covert, but they are making warfare through social media is the battle space, which is like I've told you. I guess this is the other thing. I forgot about this part because these tabs have been so long. This is confirmation of what I've been telling you about the integration of the military, its system that you play with called the internet, and its control that you have no possibility to understand, and its hardware control, even if you did. But there's really no place to hide. This is not much different than the Matrix, and you do live in the sewer if you do, and then you will be hunted down, as we see happening. A full spectrum superiority is a military entity's achievement of control over all dimensions of a battle space, effectively possessing an overwhelming diversity of resources in such areas as terrestrial, aerial, maritime, subterranean, extraterrestrial, psychological, and bio or cyber technological warfare. And how about we just add the cognitive infrastructure right there? Right? That was missing. Maybe someone go and update Wikipedia. So here we have the U.S. military doctrine that works in this premise, and now we find in these links the military's been involved behind the scenes, as we some of us could see how Smith Monk would work. How, remember, the first original Smith Monk Act actually gave the ability of the United States to propagandize to foreigners and prohibit it to United States citizens. And the modernized one says, no, go ahead, you can propagandize to the citizens, and you can make it up too, specific to what your target needs are inside the border. So military operations have been going on. Now we're tied to two, and it's got to be all, to me, it's all of them. I have no hesitation to believe any of it. I mean, none of it's off limits. Total dominance, correct? And don't think every other government's not doing the same thing to their point. But we move on to now we see a promotion that's interesting. Again, the military connection to a warfare they're doing against you and control of your cognitive infrastructure. Get in the mindset of these people, what they think about this, how they think about this, who they are, that they think that they can even do this. That these are, you think that you live in peacetime and you're the terrorist. To what outcome? Whatever they want. Are you on the wrong side or the right side of information at that point? Who you can't ever really know. And you don't know the operation that's moving. All you can do is identify it's not actually the condition that you're watching that's everybody's responding to is not consistent with the black and white you can find out. But moving into the, you see another article that came all at the same time on top of, the Pentagon, we got caught, now we got to look and see how they got caught and how we're going to continue, essentially. That's the SMART method as well. Well, they got caught. They got to admit to it. They don't. The NATOs get riled. If you think that the authority you gave to the military to do that for your protection, and they've got caught doing a little bit more, and they're going to now fix that, you give credit to that, and you go back to sleep, they win again. But for a boating Army PSYOPs recruitment video, show who's pulling the strings. Well, the point I just want to make on this, you can read. Again, we can read the people who are the authorship of here and how they're trying to get you to understand what's going on. The point being that there's a recruitment now for getting involved with the military for PSYOPs. The recruiting video, which was published by the 4th Psychological Operations Group and caught the attention of warfare futurists, gives us a slightly creepy, surreal vibe. So they're in the advertising in the field of PSYOPs. Well, we find out they've been doing it. Just anybody who's researched, I don't know how you may not have the proof, but you can't see how it wouldn't be possible. They're actually telling us if we look, read between the lines. Like I said, that Rewired article that's written is real difficult. They made it really neutral. But after you read it through far enough, you start realizing, yes, they're setting up, it is, they're telling them, they're going, if they haven't instituted it, they're showing the various subject matter areas of control that they need to do it, how they best get at that. And this is just a summary. This document was just a summary. It correlates to this promotion by the Army to get people that are interested to commit the psyops that they're going to do in this against the cognitive infrastructure to capture it. The U.S. government's vast new privatized censorship regime. Another article. Again, when we understand this is a military op and a total dominance is going on, and cognitive infrastructure controls and capture is what they're targeting, and they have the studies and the groups and the universities and all the so-called experts, and I can't really diminish that. They are pretty sharp about how they pull this off. Remember, they do know you better than yourself, and they know how groups work and how they don't. And if they don't, they work on it harder till they do. And so we have to, I've tried, it's interesting to me. I can't go through all that. I just know that's all the tools that I was reading that was coming. And what would, and I'm putting myself in, essentially after being devastated by the truth through the protocols of the Elders of Zion, that there's somebody out there that knows me better than myself over time immemorial. And I had to start, and I had to come to terms with that. There was a bit of an exalting feeling once I figured out, within that document, there's some disconnects for them. And I quickly went to those to look and said, if I can exploit that, they don't have the control they claim, even though they know me more better than myself. And so we get to this, the United States government's vast new privatization censorship regime. It's not really that new, but censorship of wrong think by big tech at the behest of government is a government censorship that violates the First Amendment. And so I want to get back to the thing, that, to the point. Yes, they can get these third parties to do this, but the government putting any time and money to do that, the government agencies and agents who are doing that are appropriating money that Congress has provided for them that could not go to interfere with the First Amendment. And so there's no appropriation that could come out to these agencies in order for them to lawfully do what they're doing. And I'm just posing that for people to start thinking in that direction. You take away the money in the way this place is wired, you take away the power. That you can try it, that you are able to take that connection away, that may be a little bit more difficult problem. But while we see that the government is inside these private organizations that are putting money to do this by the people in the government that are even going to talk to them, that would be a misappropriation of public funds, which violates the provision of the First Amendment and your right to be an informed public. Now, they're going to bring up their national security. There's nothing national security about making a warfare against your cognitive infrastructure. There's no probable cause to believe that that cognitive infrastructure is first theirs as a title, as a property, or that it is a violation on its own. And that they are now an official inorganic entity. They're synthetic themselves. They're novel. And so we start to get these thoughts. I hope if you don't have them, get them. Start to work down that path for yourself. And here, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. That includes the right to get proper information, not as designated by the government itself that's prohibited, but from your abilities to be free from the restraints and constraints by a group of people inside the color of an authority that says that they believe and could argue that your cognitive infrastructure is there to control. That's a breach right there of appropriation money. They're not supposed to even touch that. I'm saying this with some importance behind it in my mind because I think we're coming to that time if we don't figure this part out. Well, what do you do when you don't have control of your own faculties to make decisions? When everything you see has put a taint in your ability to think. There's no appropriation, I don't think, that can be made by a state resulting in regulating speech, especially the things it dislikes. That's the other problem. Misinformation, that's a direct violation, saying that they want to control that. There's no appropriation for that would be legitimized. That wouldn't be in violation of the First Amendment, as far as I can figure it out. Whether or not that's ever acknowledged by a corrupt court system is totally irrelevant. That's what we have to start understanding that. Meet the ex-CIA agents deciding Facebook content. So now we have more evidence within Facebook. As we identified, that was a military thing. We also got the psyops from the CIA, apparently, in their past employer. The uncomfortable job for anyone trying to draw a line between harmful content and protecting freedom of speech. Remember, they tied this to democracy. Let's not get into the Republican thing. That they think that you got to control how you run your politics, how you vote, what you think about it. That's what they're talking about. Your political understanding, how you perceive your they need to keep that trust. How, because if you don't, then it's going to be destabilizing the occupier's position. Because it's not organic. It's all synthetic. But this gentleman, this insider from the CIA, is saying it's an uncomfortable job for anyone to draw a line between a harmful content and protecting freedom of speech. His name is Aaron. He says Aaron identifies himself as the manager of the team that writes the rules of Facebook, determining, quote, what is acceptable and what is not. Thus, he and his team effectively decide the content of platform 2.9 billion active users on Facebook to see what they see and what they don't see. Aaron is being interviewed in the Bright Warehouse turned studio. He is wearing a purple sweater and blue jeans. He comes across as very likable, a smiley person. Big, cheesy smile. That's one of the first things I notice in him. It is not an easy job, of course, but someone has to make those calls. Quote, transparency is incredibly important in the work that I do, close quote. Remember where I've told you the word transparency means? He's going to do things so that you look right through him. Anyway, this article goes on to, that's what transparency is. That you look right through who's doing the problem or the problem itself. You look at what they direct your attention to. This article goes on, the next paragraph is, Aaron is CIA. Or at least he was until July 2019, when he left his job as senior analytic manager of the agency to become a senior product policy manager for misinformation at Meta. Do I need to read more? This is a consistency throughout this condition that we see now agreed to by the military as being their control, their dominance, their control. They're attempting to gain control and capture your cognitive infrastructure, perception management, if we didn't know a better term. Thank you, Bernays. So, this is what it's been all been, and this is why I've been telling you it's so dangerous. When they know you better than yourself, when they have the money and the time and the energy to put some people that will work against you to know you better, to have them know you better than they knew before, you're susceptible to that. You better learn real fast to find objective black and white basis somewhere for you to be able to monitor how you're being controlled, essentially, because that's what they're after. Your cognitive infrastructure, yours. I can't stress this enough. So the CIA is in Facebook. If it wasn't the military, well, it's another agency of the government looking to control your cognitive infrastructure. Turning to now an article, The Morality of Humanity. We move in through now more of the discussion of this psychological groupthink psychology that's part and parcel to what you kind of hear in the Rewired document that is gone through by this author, Nicholas Creed. He likens this condition and trying to come to terms with, you know, you look around, why did some people go with the COVID? Why didn't they? Well, we start looking at it from these cognitive infrastructure capture or control. There is an underlying protection that he finally gets to in this article that I want to touch on. That he goes through the analysis that the people, psychologists that have worked through groupthink. In particular, the condition where you have, looking at sports teams and what they identify to be what they call BIRGing, burging, or CORFing, corfing. And the burging, it refers to when a sports fan is basking in the success of their team's glory. And corfing refers to when the sports fan chooses to disassociate themselves from the team following a failure. And he goes through this in the article and explains by applying that psychological observation to what we see in COVID, how people agreed, why they might have agreed, what the theories say they would have agreed to, why they protect that decision to agree, and then some of those that engaged did participate in the team and then found out maybe not, and then became vocal opponents. And he doesn't quite say violence, but he does say, he does point out that you actively go against your position, notwithstanding your prior action. That creates a different type of guilt. But pointing out that using a sports group model, you see this dynamic that's in the society. It gives us, those of us that are looking that never really got into the, I don't get into the sports thing. I was telling you from before it started, here it comes, folks, let's get prepared. Let's not be part of the group, right? Let's not just get part of it. Not because we're being indifferent, but because there's a reason, a black and white reason why we don't have to, actually. There's no objective basis to engage. There's no probable cause to be involved. There's no guilt upon us. That's another thing. You know, a lot of people throw down, they throw themselves into the guilt bus. They don't have to. If you're presumed innocent, really, that's our defense. I'm innocent until you can show probable cause I'm not. And even that's a question because I have due process after that. So there, I just showed you how the application of the law of a country under law starts to work. Wholly different than what you've seen before. But this is a very interesting analysis. Goes through this group thing where you see how this works. But he pulls, what got to me was near the end, and it is an interesting read. But he gets to the end. And there's always, the people I work with and myself, we think about this. What's protecting us? There's a protection, and you have to kind of be in there too. Or seemingly there's a protection. It's not just this mechanical look at the black and white. There's just a spirit in us. And this is ingrained somehow. This is in us. We can't get, in a way, can't get rid of it. I guess we can be persuaded about it. We can consent it away. But there's something deeper, way deeper, that maybe is our protection, that is also harder to get to, harder to understand. You can be talked out of things in your mind that aren't this protection. But he comes to the very end of this. Don't get into the team group think idea. Don't respond as a group of people, the groupers, as I call it, the shiny stuff. You really got to be a critical thinker. They're destroying how you do that. And they'll tell you in these last articles that I've been pointing to how they do that. The Rewired kind of goes through how to do that. But he goes, do you think this sports psychology research has relevant application to explain how and why some people are diehard, literally diehard, narrative believers, and others chose to switch allegiances in order to disassociate themselves from failure and shame? And it wasn't just disassociation. It became active aggression, if you will, as well, I saw. I do want to add that in there. It doesn't kind of go to, there's a little bit of touch to it, but there's a pushback. But it's the pushback against the embarrassment of the decision, not like I would push back and say, wait a minute, there's no thing here to discuss anyway. But he goes on, he says, can we use the psychological research? Seems so, I would say. But as fascinating as group psychology is, he writes, I have come to believe that the simplest explanation for why some of us stood up to tyranny is a spiritual knowingness of good versus evil and right versus wrong. It cannot be fully quantified, scientifically measured, or explained in any psychological framework. For some, their internal moral compass supersedes all external factors thrown at them. We few will always exist, and we few will always stand up for what's right, because it's the right thing to do. So how could we act any differently? Now, I know there's a lot of detractors about this, but I can tell you there's going to be, you're going to find a solid foundation in us. We will. Each one of us will have to. And if it doesn't transcend legalisms, and like I kind of show you to get, a lot of people don't understand, they have that spirit, but they don't understand that the physicality requires certain responses. Like I tell you, when they get a notice underneath the new system, the physical system, you better respond correctly than not to respond at all, because that silence is taken as authority and the right to act against you. This is a different measure that's internal. You have to be truly honest to this force and power. I felt very consistent with this view. You have to have, your moral compass has to be right. Sometimes it can be skewed. And that's the problem, that when they're after your cognitive infrastructure, they can do that to you. Understanding those are your weaknesses allows you to see through that. It gives you a buffer, and you rely on this internal moral compass. But that moral compass isn't on its own what works. So you have to take action based in that. And some people have, some people are, major, or more likely we are not generally. And to touch on, can we apply the sports team for psychology? Interesting, in the same week here, thumbs up, concurrence. Something I'd have to say, well, I guess this proves it a bit. We could attach to society the sports team groupthink thing. How you keep yourself different is to have that spiritual foundation. I suggest the buffer for that is to also do the black and white. What can we say? That's this. It's not spiritual, but it's the objective law. The law that's not changeable, the black and white, the duty upon an official can't be changed other than a corruption. It can't be changed. You get to rely on that kind of stuff. This foundational thing is what you start to rely on. You find those things. So you don't get into this thing where you get sold into a deal and then even don't like it, try to back out. Or that you attempt to, you have to now fight through the embarrassment of being involved with a failed condition. Phillies fans turn on each other in an ugly scene during a game 4 loss to Astro. An ugly scene broke out among Phillies fans. Here's that sports team insider. They start fighting amongst each other when parts of them didn't go when the team wasn't performing correctly. They weren't basking in the glory of success. Now think about that. That's also a problem. It's not that they even saw the problem. They just didn't like the embarrassment. That's all ego stuff. And that's the other thing. You start to diminish your ego in all this when you get to the spiritual side. However, you utilize that strength. But an ugly scene broke out amongst groupthink people, even when their success, the glory of their success, tarnished. And so we have right here in the news, a confirmation that maybe that sports model may not be so far off to at least loosely apply. I think there's a whole lot more involved. Loosely apply to the condition that we watch in society to try and understand how this thing happened. How did about 40% or so people agree to go harm themselves? Why don't they come behind the woodshed to listen? Why don't we flock to where information is? Why is that information shunned is another thing. I'm reading a lot of this for myself as well. What is going on in people? Why when I put out a tweet does it get no response? And the couple of people that do respond all the time are the response. Why isn't there anything new? Why isn't there any more interest? Why do we tend to want to be the groupthink and then fight amongst ourselves? Which is by the government, the military wants that. They will use that really quickly. They like that. In fact, if you read the Rewired condition, they're explaining that it happens, and I'm suggesting to you, they're explaining that it happens because that's what they're going to exploit. They're giving a summary of that it exists and the cause for its existence, and that's the definition of how we're going to build a plan in order to exploit that weakness. And so we get in a team, we now see where the error of our ways, we have all these evasions that we build up, but we are the perpetrators, we are the supporters of the perpetration of a wrong, and then we get caught. Like the Pentagon, we'll study how we got caught so we can stay away from it. The same thing here, now coming out. This also got a lot of play. Again, I looked at it, and to me, the arguments are off point. But some academic, happens to be a professor in economics. If you understand the connection between, like, Lagarde and the economy is the jabs, and all this sustainable development, we're going to bring you to austerity, bring prosperity to you, which is our definition of what you deserve. The article came out by Emily Oster. Let's declare a pandemic amnesty. Let's focus on the future and fix the problems we still need to solve. Forward thinking, it sounds like, but boy, this didn't really play so well. Some people, I guess, would agree. I kind of want to cut to the chase of all this. What occurred to me is she's doing the same thing to say she's one of the people that would have advocated for rah, 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 the team, get the booster, get the shot. Now they're finding out that the scam is up. I mean, the jig is up for them. So now they want to, like, the collaborators get shot. So she's trying to anticipate. Well, she's part of a university. There's a big thought going on behind this as well. that she writes out, well, let's have pandemic amnesty. So lots of people took her to task about all this, and no way, and sure, no way. But my problem was that nobody came back to say, as I did, directly back to her, pandemic amnesty, first of all, is not within a jurisdiction, the local jurisdiction, remember? So relative to the communicable disease law, she's proposing something outside the law, not something lawful, which wouldn't acknowledge pandemics. They would acknowledge an outbreak or an epidemic for an infectious agent, which she never mentions. So this is a way to try to create an excuse to try to sound like you're empathetic, try to sound like you're reasonable. But again, if you listen to this, and you, whether even if you directly do not agree, if you look at why the disagreement, it's based on the harms that were caused. And correctly so, to the point. But the arguments saying no are not based on the fact that she never points that the law was failed. The thing we have to solve is the officials faithfully executing the law, and none of this would happen. Pandemic would not have been possible, even though it's not within the jurisdiction, and so amnesty is irrelevant. So again, I see an interesting, I would say no way, but not for her reasons, not just because it's no way, not just because people were harmed. It's because the way we solve it is we go back to the law and say, wait a minute, we had officials that were everywhere. Every jurisdiction had an objective basis to follow. None did it. All are arbitrary and capricious. There's no excuse for that. No amnesty for that. The law says there's accountability. And the same law that is not spoken of in this is applicable, but not yet being applied, is essentially a comment I made back. So, all I'm saying, I guess, here is I think we have a major focus shift away from all the harm that was caused. To me, that's water under the bridge. That was predictable because officials never did their duty in your government. And that's a harder responsibility to address and actually admit to. This is also our problem. Also not noticing there was not a pandemic response because this was supposed to be done on a case-by-case basis. So the economist comes out to try and ameliorate and sound reasonable when, in fact, she never touches the law, never touches the actual thing that was going on, but attempts to cover over the problem that they have another, in my mind, to do it again. And as long as everyone complains about the harm, their loved ones dying, all this other stuff, instead of saying, hey, you had a duty in this local official, and they failed, and your governors failed you, and you allow those people that are failed in the government to stay, you're going to have more grandmothers and grandfathers and stillbirths now and into the future. To me, this opinion was laughable. It wasn't even worth a response. But the droll that I am in the Twitter is I'm trying to focus people on what they should be looking at. My response is, why didn't you bring the law? If you brought the law up, you couldn't be speaking in terms of pandemic. You couldn't be using amnesty because the law requires accountability. Where is that? That we're not getting the accountability is our problem to solve. It's already in the black and white to solve. Why aren't we doing it? We have to think hard here, at least to my mind. I'm going to offer some more as I move on here, looking down. The tabs will continue here on people who responded. They're not necessarily wrong. I'm just saying we need to focus on what's more right and more correct so that we stop, as a people, we stop this from being able to happen again. The only objective basis I know that destroys everybody's opinion, that destroys everybody who thinks they have an authority, is following the black and white of the communicable disease law, and I am only saying that because it offered due process, which nobody was provided for. And if you have to then look through the lens of due process, even police power is controlled, military is controlled, with particular where it's not supposed to be running roughshod over the people, nor using its funds to appropriate the cognitive infrastructure it never possessed anyway. But Atlantic is asking for pandemic amnesty and forgiveness. So this author translates the authorship of Emily Oster over to the publication. Fair enough. And he'll go through this entire discussion on his interpretation. I'm offering it just so that you see there's lots of stuff to say, and maybe rightfully so, but I'm suggesting we move. That is like our hip pocket knowledge of all the consequence of the first error, which the first problem, which was to allow our officials, our governors in particular, to move an emergency through when they declared it facially as a presumptive emergency. You cannot, lawfully, you cannot have a presumptive emergency. Why that wasn't the clue, I don't know, but it apparently wasn't. And another opinion, not a chance, Atlantic writer begs for a pandemic amnesty, forgiveness for COVID tyranny. Again, I'm not against the no. I'm against the reason for the no. And then us turning around and stopping this in its tracks before they use it to run us down, before the military uses the social medium to control and capture our cognitive infrastructure, that we can't make these decisions. This is the big problem with what I saw, these tabs I was holding for weeks and weeks, last September, here this last month or so. Just sitting there waiting for the right time. Well, this month, week was this time. We have to protect ourselves, and these are sitting there to do that. I guess you could say to jump off and not get in. I've said that myself, get rid of your phone, that kind of thing. Well, okay, but then there's still a war going on. You don't, they're doing a warfare. It's going on. You're in a war. Whether you're engaged or not, that war is going on to change the people's minds around you. And so we have a little bit of a discussion right there on how do you engage that. And whether to engage it, and then in what way. Twitter blows up as professor after demand, at professor after demanding pandemic amnesty and op-ed. Again, a couple of these lists, these links, you can read through them. I found interest in them only to see different angles of what people are coming up with. I can't say they're invalid. I'm just suggesting that if you talk about the consequence instead of talking about the cause, if you talk about the symptoms, as terrible as they are, people dying, stillbirths, babies, all this stuff, young men dying, more deaths in 1 year than the Vietnam War in 10, all that is a consequence of the failure of your established government to follow the law. And that law provides accountability. And if we don't focus on that and look out to find out who won't do that, to identify the other agents in collaboration undermining us, our society is fairly well going to go down the fact, the path that they've set up, the plan that's going on. And this is, I guess, I have a tweet here for us. Removing, she calls about the darkness on this. There's dark on this issue that the professor speaks to. And I said, removing the dark required obeying local communicable disease law, the due process it provides, and noticing pandemic isn't of local lexicon, amnesty irrelevant, and which won't bring the peace law intended if it would have been faithfully executed, even now for breach accountability. And I know a long string of words there. Those are all clauses of the steps that would be irrelevant, the things that are all irrelevant in her discussion, and that if we have abandoned the local law, it still sits there, and other law sits there to allow us accountability for this breach. Not hand it over to someone else and say, oh, there ought to be accountability. Those folks that got harmed have to bring the accountability. It'd be nice if everyone kind of mutually got together to figure that out, how that was going to be. In fact, I had to chuckle again. It's really not a joke. It's not a laugh. Anybody who didn't agree, what didn't become part of the team, the rah-rah, the cheerleaders, really it doesn't have too much standing. There is one or two things I could possibly create to cause a standing, but it's tenuous. It's not the way you want to enter into an accountability condition. So if it's an argument, the issue here would be whether or not you can present that there was a duty. And there's been a court case that did that, and the Supreme Court of that state is so corrupt, they would not offer the law at all, not even a little bit. Not the equity either. And it shows, I already know we're in some serious trouble, whether the rest of you all know. Whether the rest of you all would say, well, because of that, we're not going to try anymore. Or I'll just wait till they come to my door and they can peel my fingers against the cold steel. See, I guess we could all do that. I don't think that's going to go that way, but or good. And they won't come to your door. They'll just take care of the rest of society, and they'll come to your door if it comes down to it. And they may be doing that with this the economy that they're turning around on people. But here we are. The dark that she talks about, would have been answered by local communicable disease law. I say local because everyone believes the CDC has an authority, and they don't. Absolutely do not. And then the local, the CDC is not constrained, so they can promote anything. The local official, by the local law, the legislature dictates to the executive that there will be certain steps taken. And when those certain beginning steps, initial steps are taken, and there is something determined to fight, then the fight and the treatment is only to prevent and control. Not as you see the CDC saying. And so the dark that we see coming from foreigners would be eliminated before we got going. Eliminated by a proper addressment of the law, with the law. Not of the law, but with the law. I'm thinking here, I'm pausing. Are you with that? Does that make sense? And if so, then maybe that's what I've been telling you that we need to start focusing on. It's not just in this health issue. It could be in all kinds of areas, subject matter areas. Remember, the military looks at this whole entire thing as a warfare battlefield. Okay? So your cognitive, your mind is an object of their desire, the precious. And we've been talking about Twitter a bit here, and I post on Twitter, and we understand that Elon Musk took over, and interesting things are going out of that. As much as I admire what the guy does, understand, I don't trust him. If you listen to what he says, he knows him when you see him, and what he says about what, then you see what he's doing. I admire what he's doing and taking over Twitter and so-called freeing the bird. I told him it was flipping the bird, Twitter-tanic. Anyway, we're going to watch this play out or not. I wanted to bring back the truth of this question, if it is still a question, in a story that tells us that CureVac, teaming up with Tesla to make a RNA micro factory substance for COVID-19 shots. Elon Musk was involved with a group that creates sub-materials for the COVID shot. Cannot be, and he agreed. I don't know. What I see is what I see. I'm wrong. You can correct me. But I've also seen he's agreeing with vaccinations. I also believe I saw him say he did get a vaccination. But he was deeper than that. He actually helped with a company, and I don't know, I didn't discuss it more with my research, didn't figure out more, invested in companies that would actually create the materials that create the jab, the chemical weapon. But whatever he's talking about free speech on Twitter, he's also involved with the undermining of our societies. Now, we could correct that at some point. We could get to the truth of all that in more depth. But on the surface of things, when the people are dying around you, you're not going to, I don't think you should take too long to figure out maybe we should put a buffer between these folks and us. He's involved in a company that's named to be controlled by the military, or at least influenced strongly by the military, and I don't see that coming through the Twitter feed. And the military said, the Pentagon said, oh, whoops, sorry, you caught us. Now we're going to have to investigate how you caught us, how we got caught, and maybe you won't see us again. Is the imposition of this world order coming through the technocratic, the technocracy, the digital, the technology to bring the controls that they need, the behavioral controls? And we see now they're directly attacking your cognitive infrastructure because the government has no mind. There's no mind in the government. All these ideas. Oh, boy. Anyway, so let's move on. Where are we going with all this stuff when I bring up Elon Musk and bringing on the shot and the shot's the economy of the future? It is and it's not. That's just a focus for us. It's going to be part of it. Endless disease. It's all been agendized, all been planned by those in John Hopkins. Look at the rewiring your digital cognition, right, in democracy. Since when are they supposed to have control of that, folks? It has to be a violation. Any money appropriated for that is a violation. We move on now. Move on through the Twitter, what the promotion can be, where we got to go. In the interest of peace in the world, it says here by Mike Wallace, And in the interest of successfully dealing with the challenges of climate crisis, it is really important that the European Union has a strong positive relationship with China. Time for EU leaders to stop bowing to U.S. imperialism. Nice sentiment, but right off the bat, we also know there's no climate crisis. The crisis would be a political crisis, and that we are in that crisis. This is someone out of the EU. I'm not going to go deeper, but he ties up this condition, this climate crisis, and we see the words of sustainability in the rewire that the military is imposing. As I told you, it's like a global military thing. I want to show you at least a couple links to hint. It's not just United States-centric. It's every, at least a major world powers are on the same thread. Peace in the world, you don't see peace at all. Actually, these people want to see strife. That's what makes the world goes round for them. Otherwise, I said, and you saw the dark is removed by bringing the law that brought the peace and due process instead of the chaos we saw and the tyranny that we saw. Moving on now to China. This happened a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to profess to be any kind of geopolitical expert at all, or I even understand China. I'm just going to go off these Twitters that came through Global Times. I believe it's what they even tell me here, China state-affiliated media. The statement, we will work with people, so again, moving climate crisis over to what was said in through China, up with China to stop Imperial U.S. When the Imperial U.S. is doing the same thing, is another cognitive dysfunction in whoever said that, or the belief, and thinking that it's good, there's world peace coming when you go ahead and do this. Going into Global Times, because we are directed to China at about the same time that this was going on and his suggestion to look there, we will work with peoples of all the countries to champion humanity's shared values of peace, development, fairness, justice, democracy, and freedom to safeguard global peace and promote global development. To keep promoting the building of a human community with a shared future. How kumbaya, Xi Jinping saying that from China. How much warm does my cockles of my heart feel to hear that? I hope you picked it all up. I hope you hope you understand what shared values means, and I hope you go tie it back to the Pentagon that wants to know what, be able to control what misinformation is and disinformation. And understand that someone in the EU is saying we need to snuggle up to China. Talking about democracy? Well, I guess they have their form. Justice? What is that? We're finding no justice at all. Fairness? What's that? Whose standard? Safeguarding global peace? Yeah. Cain killed Abel. I doubt that there's going to be a global anything. But it is global peace if you capture the cognitive infrastructure to control the masses to behave the way they ought to or be able to impose your idea what a shared value of peace is. As China is speaking, going back through the EU to fight the U.S. imperial agenda, snuggle up to China. Listen to the words of what they want to do. Listen to what China is already embracing. It's not even their own, it's something foreign to them as well. Moving on to the next one, achieving the goals of the centenary of the People's Liberation Army. Okay, talk about Pentagon. The U.S. Imperial Force is the Pentagon. Same people here, if you will, for a different country. Achieving the goals of the centenary of the People's Liberation Army in 2027 and more quickly elevating the People's Armed Forces to world-class standards are strategic tasks for building the modern socialist country in all respects, Xi says. Through this 20th CPC National Congress, of which he gets brought in for an unprecedented, exalted third term, I understand. So the military is going to be a world class for a socialist country. What do you think sustainable development develops? And that's not the only thing. Again, these words, these political classifications fall moot once you figure out that they're not doing these at all, but China is embracing it. The thing that the EU needs to snuggle up to, as against the U.S. Imperial Force, which is doing the same thing. China will improve the system of income distribution. Remember, Agenda 2030, prosperity is shared wealth. Income distribution, he says, keeping distribution according to the work as the mainstay with multiple forms of distribution existing alongside it. Income distribution and the means of accumulating wealth will be kept well regulated. Well, by the military, I'm sure. Income distribution is shared wealth. No different than Agenda 2030 speaking within the nation of China in embracing climate crisis. Income distribution, they're going to enforce that, regulate it. What do you think, how do they think they're going to do that efficiently? But through your social credit scores. China to work toward carbon goals actively, prudently, Xi says, based on this climate crisis excuse. China will work actively to prudently towards the goals of reaching peak carbon emissions and carbon neutrality, Xi Jinping said Sunday after the opening of the 20th National Congress of the Communist Party of China, based on China's energy resource endowment, which will, this stuff cracks me up. Resource endowment, we will advance initiatives to reach peak carbon emissions in a well, peak carbon emissions. Wow. Lots, I guess, here. In well-planned and phased way in line with a principle of building the new before discarding the old. China will actively be involved in global governance in response to climate change. Do I need to hear any more? That this is what this government's doing, consistent with the UN, consistent with that agenda, foreign to the United States. And I have to then restate, how is the U.S. imperial force different than this that it's doing right now against us? China's Communist Party Congress, a real simple guide, interesting little discussion. I put this in here because I just kind of go through again to try to speed up what's going on. The organization of China, what the Congress was about, to see what they were doing in that hearing, what the politics, internal politics was, the political pushings that are going on and pressings and all that kind of stuff. Interesting, just as a review, I don't want to lose too much focus to say that it doesn't matter how they're organized and the political setup that Xi Jinping has done to get where he is, there are still, he is now as the leader and likely an indomitable leader. He is embracing global governance. He is embracing the climate change. He is embracing nothing different than the U.S. imperial force that he fights, says he's going to fight. Their military is going to regulate that there. Like the military is capturing your cognitive infrastructure here to press the same thing. Chinese President Hu Jintao forced from party Congress, erased from internet as Xi solidifies power, was very interesting. I don't know how anybody can say this guy wasn't walked off this stage. A lot of people are saying that he was sick and they're going down there. This was a scare, in a way, to me, scary. They didn't have to do it this way is the point. They could have handled it if it was true that he was having trouble. This is an ex-leader who is a counter to Xi. You see the political power moving right here. And for us to see, this was captured by Chinese TV cameras and then allowed out. So this is something a little bit more than maybe the apologists are saying. This elder gentleman was escorted, and it didn't look like he wanted to go too quick, and he wanted to not go there at all, and he wanted his paperwork, which they didn't give it to him when they took it from him. They escort this guy off during this thing, and I believe this is showing us an open view of how the power works in China, and I'm saying that to the point when Xi Jinping says they're going to embrace global government, it's going to be a cover, the excuse, and the ability to abuse their system, their people through it, again, to regulate it. You look at that, this is an absolute power, it seems to me, that's coming. Where in the West, they have to do it through your cognitive infrastructure. They got to get you to put the gun to your head and pull the trigger. Somebody who didn't like that, a gentleman named Peng Lifa, China's bridge man, called China's bridge man, he's also excised from the internet, unless you were able to move stuff out. China's bridge man humiliates Xi Jinping, brands him a dictator, stages protests at Sitong Bridge in Beijing. One guy stands up, does his, pretty interesting what he got away with. They collect him up pretty quick. I don't think I've heard about the guy since, but this is the kind of thing that people are going to have to do. If you see the type of power that's being wielded by the politics there, I'm asking the Americans and people in the West to consider that's where you might be in the future. You might be the one lone bird that finally decides to go out there, free the speech, free the bird. You're going to go on some overpass, lay your banners, burn your tires, and that's the last we're going to hear of you. And that's going to be the last of everything we're going to hear. Because the society has been so cognitively captured that we have no other response. And so this is an object lesson to me. Someone stood up, like the Tiananmen Square, they tried to make it that big. They're claiming that this is not going to be that big because there was no good pictures. They do have a picture. But this ends up being a gentleman, I think he's a professor, who decided he was going to protest. And like any protest would, he gets, you know, they take him away. The point is that we see a crack in the uniformity that was presented by the Congress in China, also tainted by moving, and this is, I think, a clear message, moving an ex leader in China out. And that leader is known to be counter to, that would protest Xi Jinping's actions. So there's no resistance at all in there. Now, I have another link on Twitter, shows more video of the gentleman, professor, on the bridge, what he did, and to see somebody, they were looking at it. What the government did, they actually move him into a car, and then that's the last I think I've seen, and I haven't heard anything from the guy. I just want to point out that this iron-fisted global governance, carbon, global warming excuse is going to be used to squash people. And you can see that even in the so-called West. And I've been saying, but because you're not forcing due process. You're allowing these tyrants to get through and do it. New economic data from the China policy of dynamic zero COVID, of maintaining lockdowns and testing regimen long abandoned by in the West as a tool for controlling COVID-19 outbreaks was not the economic drag Western experts predicted it would be. This is an interesting article trying to show when you put these tyrannical impositions that it won't affect the economy. Understand that they're doing a shared wealth thing. You're going to go to work. He said that it was all based on you working. It doesn't mean that your economy is doing any good. So you got to be careful. Some of these promotions that started to come out to support China in its professed embrace of the climate crisis, so-called, and the global governance condition of shared wealth. There's no property for you. There's everything I've been telling you is the problem of Agenda 2030, and it ultimately becomes global debt, a global debt prison, but managed by these so-called nation states that have no actual sovereignty within them anyway. It's the strongman power, even if it's covert behind the scenes, and like in America, well, we don't understand that. It's no surprise that the Brits would prefer some form of dictatorship. Western, again, this is the cognitive infrastructure capture. Western pundits may believe that UK chaotic democracy is healthier than China's strong-arm leadership model, but many people don't think so. Again, this was a week where the promotion focusing on China, attempting to show and commit to the British people, just give in to this. It's really a fascinating thing going on here that week. It has been a highly turbulent week in British politics, even by modern-day standards. Prime Minister Liz Truss resigned 48 days into her term and was succeeded by the former leadership of rival Rishi Sunak. This is promoting that we're going to support China. The Brits are. And you believe that some form of dictatorship is better than your freedom. I'm hoping you folks over there will show different. I'm not saying that you have to do it in violence. I'm saying you better show different because they are propagandizing. You will accept dictatorship. UK Council, and here's how they start to do it. Here's the economy coming back. UK Council goes cashless, allegedly to support the switch to a digital economy, the push towards digital-only payments. The Council of Shropshire, a county in England, plans to go cashless by April next year. The council alleged that the move is in response to the changes in the behavior of the public. I say stop behaving to the point that you like your digitals. Get to cash. They're using this behavior, the very thing they're going to control in you in the future, they're using it to as your consent. You're going to have to become a lot more active in showing what you really want. This is not a a spectator sport. I keep telling you, that's across the world, not just America. Former Goldman banker Rishi Sunak to be the next UK Prime Minister. How old this now becomes trying to get to, but this became so important because it becomes instrumental to the climate crisis connection to the global governance. And this guy was supposed to be a conservative, and y'all think it's about this guy's a conservative, but you understand he's a Goldman banker. This is economy underneath this. And when I saw that, I said, this guy is going to take this right back through, and the UK is going to be brought in subjection to this global agenda. And you start to see that to happen. Within him being brought in, we also saw a story. BlackRock stands at the nexus between derivatives blowing up in the UK pensions and the shortest tenure of the Prime Minister of UK. The turmoil that was created, the condition that was set up to allow this banker to step in, and the question, who is Rishi Sunak, a New York UK Prime Minister succeeding, and there's a discussion on who this guy really is. They call him a person of color. He's a guy from whose ancestry is from India, the very place that the UK oppressed. This is a fascinating return. But I think people are looking at the wrong skin color. They're looking at the sienna. They don't realize the guy's color is green. He's a banker. Green is money. Green religion. This guy is not going to help things. He may look like it. He may be better positioned. He certainly is not going to be a conservative in the sense that most people think. Is it just a coincidence that 8 UK MPs who are also WEF members, the World Economic Forum members, also supported Rishi Sunak before Johnson and Mordaunt conceded? Interesting dynamic in there. Johnson and Mordaunt, the two prospective candidates for the position. Johnson again pulled out right at the end. Mordaunt, I noticed, was like a die, the name Mordaunt. There's another story behind that as well. This was like a setup for the takedown to get him positioned in. He tried before, didn't get in. I guess there was a timing miscalculation. He gets in later. But I don't think he's the guy that people think. Sunak reinstates fracking ban. There was a bunch of activity right before that happened to try and block the ban. When he gets in, he goes ahead, and he's a conservative, though. He goes ahead and releases the fracking ban. I'm not deciding that that's good or bad. What I'm saying is we're looking at decisions being made to go to the global governance green religion agenda where economy is the power, not the environment. It's a political overthrow going on. As we see UK leader Rishi Sunak turns to COP27 climate summit and will attend. Is this a question now? What's going on? And we see this faux argument. This is Western democracy, or is it fraud? And we see a discussion here on another article where someone out of the UK, a whistleblower so-called, anti-corruption former UK Ambassador Craig Murray, pulls out this discussion about whether or not this is Western democracy in the UK. And yet you go look in this list of things that are listed, and all the things he stands on is the global governance agenda. Everything. And so he questions the Western democracy as a fraud, and then he gives you what he calls Western democracy, which is a sustainable governance fraud. And I have a couple more issues relative to Rishi Sunak being involved in Moderna vaccines. I won't tell you the source of his money as he went in, moving the global agenda forward as we got into the issue with the Lagarde and the monetary condition in the IMF. And a couple of other things about the UK. I hope something today I said was interesting enough to get you fired up to at least do something to protect yourself locally. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Roll.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son,
just opened a whole case of Wolfpass.